Thank you for having me. So my name is Jacob Jason and my wife Pei. We serve with RUF International, Reform University Fellowship International. It's our PCA denomination's campus ministry, and RUF International, we focus on reaching international students and scholars. Johns Hopkins has over 5,000 international students from over 120 countries. It's a great mission field for the Gospels, and God has brought the nations to us here. And you can be a missionary without leaving your home by getting involved with RUF International. I have some brochures here that after worship service, if you'd like to talk to me, I'll give you some brochures. You can take it home and to think about if you would like to get involved in reaching the nations here in our own backyard. God has brought the nations to our own backyard in your own doorstep. And you can get involved in reaching the nations with us. Let's read the Word of God from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you please stand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. If you cannot find 1 Thessalonians, it's right before 2 Thessalonians, so it's easy to find. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much afflictions with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of receptions we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. You may be seated. So we want to thank you again for Grace Reform, for your prayers and support for RUFI at Johns Hopkins. My wife and I like to go hiking, and we often go hiking in the city of Baltimore. Lake Roland Park is one of our favorite hiking places. It's a nice place to go there. But once a year, we want to go to national parks. And it's so exciting when we plan our hiking trip. When we do things together with the persons we love, like our spouses, it brings so much excitement and happiness in our hearts. And here in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, we see the heart of Jesus, the Great Commissions. His heart is for people from all nations to come to him. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's Jesus' Great Commissions for us. It is his missions that he wants to accomplish together with us. And to be on missions with Jesus Christ brings the greatest joy in our hearts. Why? Because when our hearts are together with his hearts, it brings the most intimate relationship with the God of the universe, and it brings the greatest joy that you and I can ever have. It fills our hearts and our souls. So Jesus wants us to be on missions with him, doing mission works together and reaching the nations with him. So how should we respond to his calling for us? What does a Christian's missional life look like? What does living a lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship look like in our daily lives? Individually and corporately as a church, as a community of God's people. So today we will learn from the Thessalonian church how we can be a missional church and a joyful congregation like the Thessalonian Christians. And we will learn seven characteristics of missional Christians. And these seven characteristics are woven to one another. Each one is connected to the others. So the first one, characteristic number one, missional Christians work their faith. This is in verse 3. Missional Christians work their faith. It means that their faith is active. Their faith in Jesus is shown in their life. Now, what does it mean to have faith in Jesus? To have faith in Jesus means to trust in him simply and fully without reservation. Faith in Jesus means that we trust our life to him alone. And we trust in him and his redeeming work on the cross for us. And we reject all other ways of salvation. If we put our faith in Jesus, we cannot trust in anything else, including in ourselves, but in Jesus alone. Salvation is exclusive. Jesus is the only way. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tell us, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Faith in Jesus is a saving faith. Romans 10, verse 13 tell us, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. So those who have put their faith in Jesus, trusting and surrendering their life to him, are safe. They are what we call spiritually born again Christians. They have a new life in Jesus. And their life demonstrates this new life they have in Jesus. And it's clearly seen by others, people, by non-believers. This is a mark of a true born again Christians. Non-believers see their life and they see the difference. The Christian life is joyful, is full of hope, and is very attractive. It is also contagious. It is missional and impactful. The Christian life brings the joy and the love of Christ to others. It brings significant impact to the life of others. Now, what is a good example of this? And this brings us to characteristic number two. Number two, missional Christians labor their love. This is also in verse 3. Missional Christians labor their love. There are four Greek words that are translated love in our English Bible. Storge, familial love between parents and their children. Phileo, brotherly love. Eros, sexual love. And agape, self-sacrificial and unconditional love. Now, can you guess which one is used here in verse 3, labor of love? It's agape. So labor of agape love. Missional Christians labor their self-sacrificial and unconditional love to the people around them. Wherever they are, wherever they go, either in their neighborhood or at work, they labor their agape love to the people around them. And their community is blessed. Their coworkers are blessed. Their friends are blessed because of their agape love for them. Now, what does laboring our agape love look like as a church? Have you seen a musical movie called Sister Act? Came out in 1992, about 20 years ago. And in the movie, a group of Catholic nuns, they helped their community by doing community service. So the result, people came to their church. And the church choirs also attract the people too. So perhaps there are some projects that we as a church can do together for our community. Perhaps you can open your home to practice Christian hospitality by inviting a non-believer friend to have dinner at your house. And if you do this just once a month, and if every member of this church is exercising Christian hospitality, there are so many people in this community who will be reached out by you, by this church. So in a nutshell, a missional church is about telling and showing the love of Christ. Telling and showing the love of Christ. Sharing the gospel, teaching the word of God, and laboring the love of Christ. People will know that we are Christians by what? By our love. And to be precise, it's agape love. So have we labored our agape love together as a church? Is our love seen in our community? Can people say good things about us as a church? Number three, missional Christians are steadfast in their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is also in verse 3. Missional Christians are steadfast in their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being steadfast means being committed and persistent. You know, it's easy to labor our agape love to nice and friendly people, but it's hard to labor our love to those who may not appreciate it. It's easy to be kind to those who are kind to us, but it's hard to be nice to those who are not nice. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8 remind us, but God demonstrated his own love, agape love, for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies and being rebellious against him, Jesus died for us. He demonstrated his agape love for us. So if we remember this, if this gospel deeply saturates our hearts, and we can do the same to others. And like Jesus, we can demonstrate our agape love to those who are not kind or nice, even to strangers or those who are not our friends yet. Our Lord Jesus had a vision that we will one day understand his agape love for us. And that is why he died for you and me. That's why he persistently works to draw us to himself until we surrender our hearts to him and give our hearts to him. So as a followers of Jesus Christ, we can be like him. We can have a vision that many people around us will one day understand our agape love for them. And have a vision that this sanctuary of this church will be filled with people and that you will need a bigger sanctuary and a bigger church. So hope for that and do the work of your faith and labor your agape love to the people in this community. And be steadfast, be committed, be persistent in laboring your agape love to the people around you. What is hope in Christ? Hope is faith and love working and seeing the future. Hope is faith and love working and seeing the future. Apostle Paul, in his prayer to God, he thanked God for the Thessalonian Christians because they work out their faith and they labor their agape love and they were steadfast in their hope in Jesus Christ. They had vision for the future. They had hope in Christ and they become a missional church and a joyful congregation. People came to their church. So hope in Christ is faith and love working and seeing the future. Number four, missional Christians imitate Christ in their life. This is in verse 6. Missional Christians imitate Christ in their life. Paul said to the members of the Thessalonian church, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So the Thessalonian Christians, they become imitators, following the example of the apostles and of the Lord. They receive God's word with much afflictions and joy of the Holy Spirit. This means that they receive the word of God and they obey it. They live their life according to the word of God, even though it leads to persecution, suffering, and much affliction. The Thessalonian Christians received persecution from the Roman authority and from the people in the community who believe in the false gods. But the Thessalonian Christians, they chose to follow Jesus and to imitate him in their life. They chose to trust and obey Christ. When I was in Birmingham, Alabama, one of my students from India who was from a Hindu background became a Christian and he wanted to be baptized, but his family members who are Hindus did not like it, and his older brother verbally persecuted him, speaking so harsh against him. But he decided to be baptized and to follow Jesus. Faithfully, he lived for Jesus, even though he received much affliction from his family. And now he is a pastor, teaching and preaching the word of God. So many Christians today choose the comfort and the happiness of this world rather than to obey God's word. They are not faithful to Christ, less being missional. But for the Thessalonian Christians, nothing is more important than being faithful to God. They understand that they have received the grace of God, that God has saved them from their sin, and that Jesus Christ has sacrificed himself to die on the cross, bearing their punishment, bearing the punishment of their sins as their substitutes. So they love Jesus Christ more than anything. They would rather receive persecution and affliction and lose the comfort of this world than to disobey their Lord and Savior. Reverend J.H. Sammis, a Presbyterian minister, composed a famous hymn, Trust and Obey, in 1887. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. So if we want to be a joyful congregation, there is only one way, which is to trust and obey Christ. Characteristic number five, missional Christians become examples to other believers. This is in verse 7 and 8. Missional Christians become examples to other believers. Paul said to the Thessalonian Christians, so that y'all here, to use the southern language, so that y'all become an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, this is a provinces or state, we call it here, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. So what does this mean? This means that other churches hear about the Thessalonian church, about their work of faith, their labor of agape love, and their faithfulness in Christ. It's not only to the nearby churches, but also to other churches in the whole province of Macedonia, even beyond Macedonia, to the neighboring province or state in Achaia. So isn't that cool if Grace Reform is known in all Maryland and even beyond Maryland? A mark of a missional church is that the church become an example to other churches. And a mark of a faithful and missional Christian is that he or she become an example to other Christians. So faithful Christians are those who always want to grow in their faith and in spiritual maturity. They are faithful in their daily prayer and Bible reading, spending time with God, talking to God, confessing their sins and weaknesses, and asking God to help them grow in those areas. And their prayers are intentional. Their Bible reading is consistent. And their lives are rooted in God's word. Many Christians do not blossom with the beauty of Christ because they are not rooted in the word of God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 tell us about what a faithful Christian does. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the word of God, he meditates day and night. And in verse 3, tell us what a faithful Christian looks like. So verse 1 and 2 tell us what a faithful Christian does. Verse 3 tell us what a faithful Christian looks like. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Meaning, all that he does for the Lord, in all his labor of agape love for the glory of God, he prospers. So don't you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ who blossoms with the beauty of Christ and who produces much of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Don't you want to be a faithful and missional church who prosper in your work of faith, in your labor of agape love? The answer is be rooted in the word of God. Not in any other things, but in the word of God alone. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. So everything on earth will wither and fade. Only the word of God will stand forever. And this brings us to characteristic number six. Missional Christians turn away from idols and serve the true and living God alone. This is in verse 9. Missional Christians turn away from idols and serve the true and living God alone. Paul said to the Thessalonian Christians that they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, what is an idol? A biblical definition of an idol, it's very different than the definitions of an American idol. American Idol is a singing competition TV program. If you win, you become an idol. Now, most of you probably shouldn't try this singing competition. So what is an idol according to the Bible? An idol is an image or representation of a god used as an object of worship. And these Thessalonian Christians, they used to worship these idols. This false god of the Greek mythology, like Zeus, Athena, Poseidon, and maybe Wonder Woman. So they left their former religion and they turned to follow Jesus. So think about the kind of reaction that they will receive from their family members, their friends, and their neighbors who still worship these false idols. Persecution can be verbal, emotional, or physical. So there will be verbal, emotional, or physical persecution that they receive. This is what it means that they receive the word of God with much afflictions in verse 6. Even though their family members, their friends, and their neighbors hated them for following Jesus, or even persecuted them verbally, emotionally, physically, or combination of this, they will choose to be faithful to Jesus Christ and to suffer much affliction. So many of my international students who come from different religious backgrounds, they suffer verbal and emotional persecution from their family members when they choose to follow Jesus. For some people, to be a Christian and to follow Jesus requires a great price, and they will receive persecutions. But however, they will also receive a special grace and strength from our Lord Jesus Christ. And they can persevere in their faith. And oftentimes, Christians who suffer persecutions are more faithful than others who never receive any sort of persecutions. And like the Thessalonian Christians, they work their faith, their labor, their agape love, and they are steadfast in their hope in Christ, regardless of persecution. And there is another kind of idol that we need to address, which is a spiritual idol. What is an idol, spiritually speaking? A spiritual idol is anything more important to us than God, anything that absorbs our hearts and imaginations more than God, anything that we seek to give us what only God can give. True happiness and joy come from God alone, not from idols. Money, social media, movies, TV, all these things can be potential spiritual idols for us. If we depend on these things rather than God, if we seek ultimate happiness from these things rather than God, if they become more important to us than God, the devil and his demons can use these things to take away our time and energy from giving it to God alone to giving it to these things. So we must be careful. What consumes most of our thoughts, most of our time and energy, if it is not God, it can be a spiritual idol to us. We cannot blossom with the beauty of Christ if any of these things have become our idols. So let the true and living God alone, the triune God, be the only God we worship. And let Christ alone, not idols, be the only master of our life. Let Christ be the only one we serve and adore. And Apostle Paul reminds the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, is missional living. It is our spiritual worship to God. Characteristic number seven, missional Christians live their life in the light of eternity and faithfully wait for the return of Christ. This is in verse 10. Missional Christians live their life in the light of eternity and faithfully wait for the return of Christ. For Christians who live in persecution, their faith is strengthened when they put all their hope and wait for the return of Christ. The Thessalonian Christians endured suffering and much afflictions, and they were steadfast in their hope in Christ. They wait faithfully with much patience for Christ to return. And when Christ returns, he will end our sufferings and struggles in this world. He will bring us to glory to live with Him in heaven for eternity. And He will say to each of us, to you and me, well done, my faithful servant. Come to my kingdom. And Jesus Christ will reward us with much heavenly blessing. He has an inheritance that is kept and reserved for us. And Apostle Peter describes so well about what we will get when Christ returns. In his letter to the Christians scattered in several Roman provinces due to persecutions, in 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So you have an inheritance kept in heaven for you. Have you been in Disney World or SeaWorld in Florida? And the first time I went there, it captured my mind. Wow. I also like mountains. Have you been in Yellowstone or the Grand Teton National Park? I went there a few years ago. I hiked many miles until I reached a lake with a beautiful view of the mountain, and the beauty of it just captured my heart. Have you been in the Grand Canyon? It's so beautiful. Have you been in Rocky Mountains? I also hiked many miles to reach a lake with a beautiful view of the mountain, and the beauty of it just captures my mind and my heart. So maybe you have been in some of these beautiful places. Have you been in heaven? You know, if you have, you won't be here this morning. You will be worshiping God up there. So none of us have been in heaven. All these beautiful places we have on earth, these national parks and Disney World and SeaWorld, these are nothing in comparison to heaven. The vision of the beauty and majesty of heaven, God's dwelling place, was what the Thessalonian Christians had. They knew what they had on earth was temporary. Their homes in the city were temporary. Their suffering and struggles were temporary. But their future home and joy in heaven are eternal. So therefore, they live their lives in the light of eternity. And they become missional Christians. So we must be like them. Live our life in the light of eternity, because this is the secret to be a joyful Christian. Amen. Our God is a missionary God, and His heart beats for people from all nations. The vision of heaven is very clear to us, as God has revealed it in the book of Revelations for us, that people from every tribe, tongue, and nations will gather to worship Him. Joining God in His missions to bring the world to Himself is the most privilege that you and I can ever have. And being part of other people's journey to eternity is the most significant agape love that we can demonstrate as followers of Jesus Christ. And being on missions, being missions together with Christ to bring His gospel to the nations is the greatest calling and the greatest joy that you and I can ever have. So let us live our life in the light of eternity. This is what truly matters the most. Let us faithfully wait for the return of our King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus has said to all His people, to you and me, in John 14. "I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So to Christ be all the glory. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your grace in our life. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you for making us your people. Thank you for asking us to be on mission with you to tell and to show the love of Christ. Father, please help us and use us to reach the lost in our community and to bring them to this sanctuary so that they can worship you alone, the true and living God. Help us to live our life in the light of eternity, being faithful and missional. And Lord Jesus, we look forward to your return and to live with you in heaven forever and ever. And come quickly, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.